Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for serving this great country, and welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host for this great show. But before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for their generous support in making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as I always say, we certainly love to. Today, we're going to focus in on the Army's 1st Cavalry Division from Fort Hood, Texas. And I'm so excited to introduce Major General John B. Richardson IV, Commanding General, and Command Sergeant Major Mundy, Command Sergeant Major of the 1st Cavalry Division. Welcome. So excited to have you on the show.
Well, thanks, Jack. We really appreciate the opportunity to join your audience and share a little bit about America's First Team.
Well, I appreciate it. So before, and Sergeant Major, before we ever get started, can each one of you, you know, tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And sir, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, I have the honor and the privilege to command the nation's only cavalry division, the 1st Cavalry Division here at Fort Hood, Texas. I consider myself an armored cavalryman by profession. I think that way, I act that way, and I fight that way. And that has really been the way I have approached war fighting throughout my career. A little more personal about myself, I'm married to my high school sweetheart, Deanie. We have two kids, Mary Alex and Johnny. Mary Alex just graduated from law school, and we're going to be we'll be holding closing the wallet ceremony here in the next couple weeks, and she'll be out on her own. And then our son Johnny's a senior at Tennessee. Married 31 years, one dog, and I'm trying right now to convince my wife to let me adopt a horse.
That's what I'm talking. You know, I'm an old cav soldier myself, and I'd love. You know, I was an A2 quarter cav years ago, but. Well, God bless you. Sergeant Major Shade Mundy, I missed that at the beginning. I'll make sure I get that first name in there. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Hey, I appreciate it, SMA. It's a little bit about me. You know, I was originally born in Washington State. I think you know a little bit about Washington State. I was born in Moses Lake. Yeah. But I was raised in South Dakota. My mom remarried, and I was actually raised in South Dakota, a small town. Graduated high school with 16 people, so very small. I'm third generation military. My grandfather served in the Navy during World War II, and my dad served in the Army in during Vietnam. I originally enlisted in the Army as a bridge crew member, as an engineer out there, you know, on the pontoon bridges in the cold weather in the Sava. Currently married, been married for 6 years, have 4 children, and life is great being the division sergeant major.
Oh, you know, just to let you both know, I was a division sergeant major for about 5 years and probably the best job I ever had. So anyway, again, thank you guys for what you're doing and thank you for all you do for our country. You know, today is Veterans Day, a special day for, you know, all of us who have served this great country. Can each one of you tell us, you know, what Veterans Day means to you? And sir, we'll start with you.
Okay, so when I think Veterans Day, of course, I think of Armistice Day, which was the original Veterans Day. You know, after the armistice in World War I, 11th hour, 11th day of the 11th month in 1954, we changed Armistice Day here in the United States to Veterans Day to really capture all the veterans of all of our wars and honor them. And so I think for me, it is a day of reflection and a day of appreciation. Like the Sergeant Major, I'm a multi-generation military family. In fact, the big yellow patch here on my left shoulder is my grandfather's that he wore in the division when he commanded the 5th Cavalry Regiment here in the 1st Cavalry Division. And so I think about my family and their service, and then I think about all the families that have played a role in the 20th century, specifically since World War I. You know, World War I, followed immediately by World War II, changed the world, and it thrust the United States into a leadership role. And you know what's unique about the United States Army, and I discuss this at every reenlistment, and that is this idea that a soldier doesn't swear allegiance to a king or a queen or a dictator or the fatherland or the motherland. They swear allegiance to an idea that's captured in the Constitution, and they raise their right hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that's unique to the human endeavor. No one has ever dedicated their life to an idea and serve an idea. And so it's such a privilege to see the soldiers and work with the soldiers here in the 1st Cavalry Division and know that they raised their right hand, that small percent willing to lay down their life for that idea. And so then I think back not only to present day soldiers, but all the soldiers that have served this country since World War I, but really since the birth of our nation, and this idea of defending this idea that is the Constitution. And so, again, a day of reflection and then a day of appreciation for all those who've served.
Yeah, you know, I give some classes every once in a while up in Baltimore about people that never served in the military, and I make them all raise their right hand and say, I will. And they all say, I will. And when they put their hand down, I said, well, first of all, what I did is enlisted you in the Army. And they all sort of chuckle about that a little bit. Then I said, you don't understand. You're willing, what you just did, you said, I'm willing to die for our freedoms, right? And that's what the, that's what the Army does. That's what the military does. They're willing to give up their life so you have your freedoms. Sergeant Major Mundy, same question to you. What's Veterans Day mean to you?
So it's all about reflection, as the CG said. It's the time, I think, where I take a step back and really honor the 1% of the men and women that actually volunteer to serve our great nation. Yeah. For me personally, also, it's a time where my family that served before me, that actually laid the foundation and set the example, so I could serve honorably and actually represent my name and really get after and think about the men and women, like I said, that came before us.
Yeah, one of the things I always talk about, I wish there was a way to educate people more about what guys like you do. In this country. And I think we missed a bullet on that sometime. What sort of Veterans Day activities does the 1st Cav have planned? Sir, do you have any ideas about what you're going to plan for Veterans Day, or you've already planned things for Veterans Day?
So we actually have a number of events throughout Texas that we're supporting. And then specifically, every year, our Honor Guard travels out to Washington, D.C. and meets our Veterans Association out there for wreath ceremonies at the Vietnam and the Korea memorials there on the Mall there in Washington, D.C. And we have a great Veterans Association here in the 1st Cavalry Division. They're very active, very supportive of the division. In fact, last year was our centennial celebration, and it was conducted in conjunction with the Veteran Association's annual reunion, and it was a very powerful event, at least in my eyes. And so I just want you to imagine we did a parade on the parade field the entire, and we had approximately 600 to 700 veterans, a few from Korea, a lot from Vietnam, and then. Desert Storm veterans were here because it was their 30th reunion. And then we're actually veterans from the global war on terror, returning to the division to celebrate the reunion. Immediately after the reunion, I mean, immediately after the parade, the birthday parade for our 100th birthday, across the street from the division headquarters, each of the battalions stood up regimental tents. And then the veterans came out of the stands and walked across the parade field and met today's soldiers in their former units. And the connection that took place between the veterans and the today's troopers was magical. And you could see for the veterans, it was uplifting.
Yeah.
For the troopers in the division, I watched little light bulbs go off over their heads as they interacted with the veterans, those troopers they are now walking in the footsteps of. And I think a lot of soldiers, when they first join the Army, they join for lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, college, a job. Maybe it's because somebody in their family served. But for the first time, I think a lot of them realized, wow, I joined an organization that's a multi-generational, and I'm part of a bigger family, and I am now serving for something bigger than myself. And that only happened when you had that exchange of stories between the veterans and teachers. And I found it to be extremely powerful. That's one thing that we'll be doing this year, though, is continuing to support our Veterans Association with our Honor Guard. And then, of course, you know, we have the band here in the division that's quite popular throughout Central Texas,
yeah.
And as is our Horse Cavalry Detachment. And speaking of the Horse Cavalry Detachment, that's what I'll be doing on Veterans Day. I'm actually traveling to England with three members of the Horse Cavalry Detachment to participate in their Remembrance Day, their version of Veterans Day. In England, they call it Remembrance Day. And as you know, the Brits are some of our strongest allies. And you know what's going on in Europe right now. And never before is our relationship with our allies in NATO more important than it is right now. And so I'm going over there to participate in their Remembrance Day on our Veterans Day, and then also meet and greet the 3rd UK Division Commander and start building a relationship with him, because we'll be doing a warfighting exercise, a multinational warfighting exercise with them in the spring. And you know, these relationships with our allies are all about exactly that, relationships, human relationships. And so I'm going to go over there and start building that relationship with the 3rd UK Division.
Yeah. Hey, Sergeant Major, a little bit about Veterans Day, too. What is Veterans Day? And what do you got planned? Or what are you going to focus on Veterans Day?
So for me, I'm just going to stay in the local area and go out, you know, and just support some of the events that are actually going on here in the Central Texas area. Other than that, I don't have much planned. I don't get to take the great trip that the CG gets to
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a pretty elaborate trip right there, that's for sure.
Yeah, he definitely's got an elaborate trip. Obviously, I was more than welcome to go, but this year I'm definitely not going to take that trip overseas. I'm a little tired of TDY right now.
Well, first of all, I most people have never seen it. You know, you both have horses assigned to you, correct? I mean, I have a horse that's named after me called Tilly. It's down in San Antonio. I haven't rode for a little while, but I know you guys probably do a lot. I guess you probably ride each week, don't you? Sergeant Major, do you ride your horse once a week?
Not as often as the CG does. I do ride my
horse. So he hogs the time on the horse?
No, he doesn't hog the time. He's just he's a more experienced rider than I am. But I do have a horse named Rio that I ride quite often. We're actually getting ready to ride Army game coming up in a few weeks. So we're actually going to ride. He's going to ride his horse. So I'm going to ride mine. And we're going to actually come out on the field of the Army Air Force game up in Dallas.
Oh, you are. That's what I'm talking about. So he's the general is a better horse rider than you are. That makes sense.
Most definitely. most definitely he is. I'm not going to even lie. He's done a few charges. He has the experience, and I just get to watch from the stands.
I got to tell you one story. I was riding a horse years ago, and I think I was about 14 years old, and this sir, you may know about this horse was barn broke or something like this, what they said. So I was riding with this guy, and I just had learned how to ride a horse. He says, Jack, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing okay. He says, you sure? Can you hold on? You riding pretty good? Yeah. And he kicked his horse inside, took off running, and the horse was eyes went, took off running. I dropped the reins. I'm holding on to this horse. And that horse ran all the way back to the barn, just stopped right there, scared the heck out of me, though. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Hey, sir, the 1st Cavalry Division certainly has a great history. Can you talk about the history of the 1st Cavalry?
Sure. So here's a good story. So I was in the Lewis and Clark building at Fort Leavenworth about 6 months ago, and they have all the division colors lined up in sequence. And the first one in the sequence is the 1st Infantry Division, and then they had the 1st Cavalry Division, and then they had the 3rd Infantry Division, 4th Infantry Division, and on down. And I said, oh, that they're out of sequence. As much as I like being in the number 2 slot, you know, most of these divisions, a lot of our infantry divisions were established for World War One during World War One and fought in World War One. So 1917, 1918. 1st Cavalry Division established until after World War One in 1921. So I went to the commander of the Combined Arms Center, and the General Martin, and I said, hey, sir, I think the colors are out of order. I think 1st Cav should be a little bit further down behind some of these infantry divisions. And he said, well, let me school you. And I said, okay, sir. He said, the seniority of the divisions in the United States Army are not based solely on when they were constituted. There is a formula that is certain values go into, and it produces the sequence of your order of precedence in the Army. And the 1st Cavalry Division, though not the oldest division in the United States Army, it does most days in combat of any division in the United States Army. Followed very closely by the 1st Infantry Division, but there's some other elements which allowed 1st Infantry to be have precedence over the 1st Cavalry Division. So I took great pride in that you know, the 1st Cavalry Division is just steeped in combat honors that allow us to be the second most prestigious division in the United States Army. And so that's captured in the colors right behind us. 46 campaign streamers and unit awards, 44 Medal of Honor recipients.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's actually quite humbling to be a part of this organization. It is a magical unit. And and you think about deployments. You know, so this division deployed in 1943. And did not come home until 1973.
Holy Mac, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it deployed to the Pacific to fight in World War II against the Japanese Empire. Mm-hmm. Stayed on to occupy Tokyo. And then as soon as the Korea War kicked off, back to Japan. And then when the Vietnam War was initiated, As you know, that became a air mobile division and went right back into Vietnam, and then didn't come to Fort Hood until 1973 after Vietnam. So deployed from 43 to 73, it's just a tidbit of I could go on for days on the history of this division because I'm pretty passionate about it. But I'll turn it over to Sergeant Major and see if he has anything he wants to add.
You want to add anything about the history of the division? I got one more question here for you real quick. Go ahead. Sorry, Roger.
Yeah, so really, I think that the big thing, and you know, the CG is definitely rich in history, and I learned something every day, right? As he's talking right now, I'm just
smiling. Learned something right there about the order. I didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's one thing to think about first in Manila, first in Tokyo, first in Pyongyang, first in Cambodia, right? And I think it's, you know, the division is definitely the first unit that you know the nation calls on when we want to get out there and get after something. But we're the first team, as you can see behind us, but we definitely understand that our role and our responsibility when we're called upon.
Yeah. Sergeant Major, the 1st Cav is known as first team. I always hear you, first team. You're always pumped up about that. Explain to the folks that are listening what that means.
I think I kind of said it a minute ago. We're first in almost everything we do, right? I mean, we're the only cavalry division out there. We're the largest, you know, currently almost 23,000 troopers, including the 3rd Cavalry Regiment. We're the most lethal, most modern. And you know, like I said, we're the first unit that's going to get out there and get after it. I mean, there's a lot of units out there. You probably might be on the ground before, but when you need the combat power and you need these tanks and you need, you know, these troopers, they're going to call on the first team.
True. Who are, well, every time I see first Cav people, a couple of things I always notice. One is they got their Cav hat on and they're motivated, right? And they're looking good all the time. Sir, I understand empowering the NCO Corps with standards and discipline is, you know, is the command focus. That's outlined in your yellow book, which I just happen to have a copy of it right here. Can you tell everybody what that means?
Sure. So after about a year in command, and Sergeant Major and I came in together, you know, we sat down and we reflected on the first 12 months, and we were doing a lot of great things here in the 1st Cavalry Division. But the one thing that we felt we could be doing better was standards and discipline. And so we got together with the battalion commanders and the battalion command sergeants major and the brigade command sergeants major. And we talked about it. How do we get after standards and discipline? I think everyone listening, if they don't know, the non-commissioned officer corps in the United States Army is our secret sauce. It is Absolutely. What makes us the greatest army on the face of the earth, probably in the history of mankind. And empowering our non-commissioned officers is critical to allowing them to be that secret sauce. And what the Sergeant Major and I felt was that we were leaving a lot of talent on the table. We weren't empowering or holding NCOs accountable for being that backbone of our army. And we had a discussion. Just look at what's going on in Ukraine, and you look at the Russian army that does not have an NCO corps. It's a mob. You know, it's an ill-disciplined mob. And you know, the United States Army never can ever lose sight of the fact that our non-commissioned officers are the backbone of this army and the secret to our success as a profession. And so what we decided was, hey, let's establish a standards book and then empower our NCOs to use it as a tool to enforce standards and discipline inside the division. We go back to the be no do leadership paradigm, and what we found was you can't be and do if you don't know. And so what we determined, there's been a lot of changes in the Army over the last year to maybe the last 5 years on some standards, things like women's hair standards, some uniform standards, some jewelry standards, some tattoo standards. And some of these changes have come out so rapidly, a lot of our leaders don't know what the standard is. And so the Sergeant Major and I was like, hey, well, let's do a baseline. Let's baseline what the standard is, so make sure everyone knows what the standard is, and then empower the NCOs to be and do. And they have taken off with it. And, I really can't say enough about the non-commissioned officers in this division and what they do on a daily basis. And we're seeing an empowered NCO Corps take this division to the next level. And I guess at this point, I probably should turn it over to Sergeant Major, because he was really the brainchild behind this.
Well, let me comment real quick. You said a bunch of stuff, and I'll try to remember all. One is that I watched the Russians on television. They got hit, and when they started running, they ran in single file. If that was an armored unit or a cav unit, they'd have dispersed and engaged. And I thought, my goodness, that's unbelievable. But the other thing I'll say for Sergeant Major, I know we have something to add, is that technology in the non-commissioned officer corps, I agree with you 100%, because that allows you as an officer to do your job, to plan and make sure. In the non-commissioned officer, when I was growing up in the Army, we execute that information. And the other thing is really neat, and you guys do it really pretty well, is you can see clearly that you're a team. And you function and work together. And that's the difference. And the last thing I'll tell you is, when I sort of thumbed through your book here for a couple of times, it's about leading by example and showing people what right looks like. And I think that's the key. And that's really what you got. But it's also about the basic fundamentals of being a soldier. Sergeant Major, what you want to add? I'm sure you want to add something to it.
I mean, you know, I got my book here, obviously.
I got my book now, so I'm good.
You know, you were talking about technology a minute ago, right? So when we talked about the leader's book, well, first off, you know, our division standards book is no different than any other division. There's so many divisions out there. It is nothing new, but what we wanted to do, when we go out here on Legends Way and really look at, you know, when I visit troopers, we started seeing some trends of some standards that just were not followed. And as the CG mentioned, the standards have changed for certain things over the years. So we wanted to capture really everything that we thought was a trend out there and really give and empower the NCO to say, here's the one book that you can, you know, reflect. Of course, that doesn't take away from the ARs and the DA PAMs and everything else like that. But if there's one thing, a couple things I wanted to highlight in there, it's on page 41. You don't have to look at it, SMA, right?
But
it's the cell phone policy, right? We really want, you know, and the cell phone policy, what we were trying to get after with this and the CG, you know, bought off on it was, it isn't something we created. We actually copied it from 10th Mountain Division. So we'll give them a little bit of credit for doing all the legwork. We just, you know, changed it to help the division. But it was really trying to cut down the usage of text messaging and phone calls between 1800 and 0500 to really allow the troopers to go home and decompress. As we talked about technology, technology is great, but it's really caused us to be connected 24/7. So we were really thinking about that when we followed the 10th Mountain policy, which really allows them to decompress, but really goes back to a smaller thing that you probably remember, final formation of the day.
Yep.
Right. Have the final formation, tell them what here's the next 24, here's the next 48, and then go home and let you decompress. Because it was something to think about with these young troopers. When I would ask them how many group messages, how many group threads are you on? Some would say 5 to 6. So we only imagine how many text messages at night that would be. I mean, I'm on a couple and I'm just thinking, if I had a young child again, how many text messages and how much that would that interfere potentially with my decompression and then obviously being with my family. So that's one of the big highlights. And there's all kinds of different things in the yellow book, but that is the one thing that when we talked to the new troopers in Pegasus Troop, we'll talk about in a little bit, was to try to give them some time just to decompress away from the Army.
Yeah, I think, again, you hit a lot of, but one of the things is, I think just what you just said, technology is a downfall too. Because now soldiers don't talk to each other as much as they used to. They'd rather text you. I mean, I got I'll tell you this. I have two granddaughters. I've got three great grandbabies now, so I'm getting old. But when I contacted my granddaughters and I'd call them, they'd hardly talk. But if I text them, they was right on top of that stuff. And so I think depression, people aren't, you know, they don't talk to each other enough. A lack of communication, a lack of good listening skills. I think that's always a downfall now, but I think taking away from them and really communicating a lot more, I think is really the key to success. You guys are, again, I looked at the yellow book. I probably need to go through. In fact, you guys should have autographed it and sent it to me. I put it in my little office in there. Maybe you can send me, get something ready to get the general autograph. Send me another one. I'll get another because I have two there. Hey,
actually we thought about that after we sent it to you, that one wasn't autographed and we should autograph. We'll get you one though, SMA.
I'm just talking trash. You know me. We're talking with Major General John Richards. I'm having a great time here. Commanding General and CSM Shade Monday. I don't want to miss that. Command Sergeant Major of the great 1st Cavalry Division at Fort Hood, Texas. And if you're watching this this podcast with me and your old Jack F. Tully, 12th Sergeant Major, don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button. And if you're not enjoying this discussion, something's wrong with you. That's for doggone sure. Sir, to continue on our discussion, 1st Cavalry remains the premier armor formation on the planet. What exactly does that mean?
Well, sir, I would say it's probably the universe.
I'll go with you. I'm right there with you.
All right. So we are the most modern division in the U.S. Army. We just got the most modern tanks. The M1A2 SEP V3, we got the most modern artillery, most modern communications equipment, and so the Army has invested a lot into the 1st Cavalry Division. We are known as a multi-domain armored division, and we are aligned to Europe, and so we maintain combat credible formations, ready to deploy, fight, and win. Really anywhere in the world. Now, I say we're aligned to Europe. That's our primary priority focus for planning, but we will get called anywhere, anytime, any theater, but primarily focused on Europe. And in fact, the Air Cav Brigade just returned from Europe, a 9-month rotation over there, reassuring our allies and deterring our adversary over in Europe. And as they were returning, one of our armored brigade combat teams deployed over to Europe, and they're over in Poland and in other parts of Eastern Europe. And we have 2nd Brigade preparing to deploy to Europe in the coming months. So I think when you say first cav, first team, it really goes back to what the Sergeant Major says. When you need America's hammer, you're going to call the 1st Cavalry Division. That's who's over in Europe right now. Again, reassuring allies and deterring adversaries. And hopefully in somebody's calculus is going to make sure they don't make a bad decision. But if they do, the 1st Cav's there to put them in their place.
Hooah. Hey, Sergeant Major, I think the CG just answered your question for you, but I'll ask it anyway. Other than what the CG said, what other global conflicts are we engaged in around the world? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, he definitely hit it on the head. But, you know, I think what he said is, you know, redeployed our air cav from a 9-month deployment. We have about 4,000 troops currently overseas right now, not just Grey Wolf Brigade, 3rd Brigade, but also Sustainment Brigade that's over there supporting their NATO allies and the UCOM rotation. And then also, then we have our 2nd Brigade who's prepped and ready to go in the next few months that'll rotate out. And I know they're going to serve honorably over there and represent the 1st team.
Yeah, this wasn't a question I was going to ask you. But what kind of issues do you have? I mean, people are deploying back and they're coming back after a night. When I was on active duty, it was a 1-year deployment. And then we cut it down to 6 months because of the constant rotation. So Sergeant Major, what's the biggest issue when somebody comes back off the deployment now? Just missing their family, I guess the biggest thing, isn't it?
I think that's probably one of the biggest things is just missing their family because it's a lot different than a traditional deployment, their rotational. I mean, we were just over in Poland about a month ago. The CG and I went and visited Grey Wolf. Living conditions are tense, but they have Wi-Fi, they have internet, they have all that stuff. They're able to go out on the town. First few months, it's ready to fight, getting everything ready to go. But after that, they loosen up the liberties a little bit and allow the troopers to actually explore some of the countries that they're in right now. But other than that, I think it's just missing their family.
Yeah. It's really good. They go to get to see a little bit of the country and stuff. So that's really good. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back where you're watching your next mission video podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Major General John B. Richardson, Commanding General, and Command Sergeant Major Shade S. Mundy, Command Sergeant Major of the 1st Cavalry Division at Fort Hood, Texas. And I want our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition out of the military. You know, this show is not just about me. It's about us. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You know, we like to educate you about the military and what the cavalry divisions and what all the divisions are doing and what the Army's doing, but we want to hear from you. We want to talk about things you want to talk about. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. We're heading into the final segment with you today. I certainly have had a good time. Hopefully you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. Sir, Sergeant Major, I just have a couple more questions. Sir, one of the things we want to do with this season is see how the command at each installation is relating to new recruits, junior NCOs, and how they're really making a difference in their, how you are making a difference in their personal lives. I know the Yellow Book definitely addresses that, but I understand you have a new initiative called, hopefully got it right, Pegasus Integration Troops. Does this do even more to help our young soldiers?
Jack, I think if there's one thing that the Sergeant Major and I will walk away from the 1st Cavalry Division with a lot of pride is in this idea that we have established this integration troop. We call it Pegasus Troop. And every trooper that comes into the 1st Cavalry Division from Private E1 through Battalion Commander, Lieutenant Colonel, goes through the Pegasus Troop before they join their battalion troop battery company. And it's really about transitions. You just mentioned it to your audience about transitions. Transitions are difficult. And I know for my 30-year career, the highest stress periods have been during the transitions, during PCSs. You make your permanent change of station, you pack up your house, you pack up your family, you make your kids leave their friends, and you move to a new duty station. And the stress is high. You have to find somewhere to live. You have to in process. You're meeting the new team for the first time. And I know that what I did most of my career was, hey, honey, the boxes are here. I'm going to need you to start unpacking. I got to go to work because I got to show the team I'm all in. And that I'm here to be a contributing member of the team. And that just adds a lot of stress to, I think, to the families out there. And so, and new troopers, the ones that are right out of basic training and AIT. And so what the Sergeant Major and I wanted to do is really make a first positive impression. We all know about first impressions, right? They're lasting. We wanted everybody that came into the division to feel valued, because that scenario that I just described is, hey, I have to show the unit that I'm going to be a contributor. And so it becomes about the unit and not about the individual. What we wanted to do is, hey, for these first 8 days, it's an 8-day program of instruction. For these 8 days, we don't want you to think about going to work. We don't want you to think about your next job. We are investing in you. We are investing in your family. We're going to make sure your pay is straight. We're going to make sure you have your house. We're going to make sure that you've found this for you. And we're solely focused on the individual coming in and making that transition into the division. It also gives us an opportunity to tell them a little bit about the history of the division. The Yellow Book is a block of instruction, so that they now know the standards and expectations of the division. And then I think what you get is people that are like, oh, wait, this division actually cares about me as a person. And now I'm even more willing to give 100% once I get down to my final destination, whatever troop company or battery that is. And ultimately, I think it's about instilling pride and a sense of togetherness with the incoming folks as they come into the organization.
Yeah, Sergeant Major, I guess when I listened, I didn't realize it sounded like it's an 8-day program, is what you just said. So it's a transition, Sergeant Major. It's a transition program that they come in to really build up the trust and identify the issues when people are processing in the unit. Is that what Pegasus is?
Yeah, definitely, SMA, right? So, there's an installation requirement of 4 days prior to the first 4 days is at the installation level. Then we want to integrate them into the division. And really, it's an 8-day process. And we have 8 days in the POI, but I would probably say it's more a conditions based. So a young trooper maybe the waiting list is too long. And we know too often that, there's families out there that have stayed in hotels for 3 to 4 months. So really, we want to do that because once they get down to the company battery troop level, it's expected they're ready to work. And it's really about winning that first 90 days. Because I know CG and I truly believe if we lose the family in that first, you know, that first initial impression, we're probably going to lose the trooper. And we all know right now retention and recruitment and retention is definitely difficult. So we're trying to make a lasting impression at the beginning and really show them that we care about it, really building that trust as we all talk about building the trust. But one of the things also during that time frame, during the 8 days, is they're able to see the CG and I three different times. So the welcome brief, we do a welcome brief a little untraditional like most. We don't stand up there and say, hey, we know if you ask somebody if they have a question when they're brand new, they're not going to say anything. They're just going to keep quiet. So we use technology. We use a web-based app that allows them to ask questions anonymously. And then we just answer them on the spot. So we have questions ranging from CDCs to housing to BAH, you name it, the questions are asked anonymously. And the CG and I make our best effort to go one through 100 or one through whatever the amount of questions. And if we can't answer them, then we use the division staff to follow with the troopers. So they meet us at the welcome brief. Then they see us on a division run. It's the first time and maybe the only time that they're allowed to run with the division colors and those streamers and what it represents each and every day. And then last time is our patching ceremony. The CG and I are there. He gives a speech. The chain of command is there. They come out on the field, on Cooper Field, and actually apply the first, you know, the first team patch, in the colored patch on their sleeve, and really welcome him to the team. I'll be honest, and CG and I can both tell you there's some stories where you almost see some tears out there, regardless of a private, all the way up to lieutenant colonel. I think everyone just wants to be part of a team, and it all starts with the integration of our young troopers into the division and old troopers.
Do you ride your horses out there when you come out there on that day too, or? Wait a minute.
No ideas. Please, no ideas.
Yeah, you know, you guys said something. When is, sir, you hit on it. I tell people all the time, the only time I ever helped my wife move is when I got out of the Army, last time I moved, and I didn't know the stress. So families are so important to make sure they understand. And based on what you just said, Sergeant Major, I'm assuming now, and I'm sure I'm right, is the families come through that 8-day period if they want to be a part of that. And so really what you're doing is you're building a first team with family members all the way through there. So that's a wonderful thing. And then the last thing I want to say is that patch formation where you come out and you put the first cav on their show, that's a big deal. And I could see, I'm almost tearing up myself a little bit just thinking about that. I should have been in the first cav at one point in my career. It breaks my heart. I wasn't anyway. So, but
we have the largest patch. So that's one of the things, right? You know, 5 1/4 inches. So we do patch, and it does make an impact on each and every individual that's at the patching ceremony.
Yeah.
And Sergeant Major, it's just to give a little context. So each week, we bring anywhere from 80 to 120 new soldiers into the division.
Oh, wow.
And so this is every week. And so over a year, we've turned over about 40% of the division. And so every week we have an opportunity to touch every single soldier that comes into the division. And I think the Sergeant Major, and so just imagine out on the parade field, a formation. We put them in basically platoons, you know, 1st Brigade, 2nd Brigade, 3rd Brigade. And just so to help you visualize, imagine they're out on the parade field, almost like a graduation ceremony. And they're out there. The division colors are out there on the field with them. And their new chain of command, their new squad leader, platoon sergeant, 1st Sergeant, company commander, battalion commanders come. They're in the stands. And they haven't met the soldiers yet, even though the soldiers have been here for about a week. They haven't actually met their soldiers, and the soldiers haven't met their new chain of command. So they come to the patching ceremony. They sit. The chain of command is in the stands. A very short speech by me, about 2 minutes. And then the announcer says, go find your trooper and put the patch on. And the new chain of command pours out of the stands, and they go straight to the trooper. Welcome to Alpha Company 15 Cav. It's great to have you on the team.
Yeah.
Takes the subdued patch off and puts the big yellow patch on. And I usually pick out from the from the podium when I'm doing the speech, I usually can find a second lieutenant out there, and I go straight to a second lieutenant. And I've had second lieutenants start to tear up because of the pride that they, I mean, just imagine they came in, they were treated like, hey, you're our number one priority. We don't want you to work. We're not going to ask anything of you. Yeah. We are only going to take care of you and make sure you are completely squared away before we send you down. Because we do tell them, when you get down to your TCB, your troop company battery, you're going to work hard in the 1st Cavalry Division. Make no mistake of it. But we are going to have ensure that you are set up for success before we send you down there. And they leave that formation with their new chain of command with a lot of pride in being in the 1st Cavalry Division.
Yeah. So the people that are listening out there today, you know, this is something bigger than you. It's about joining a family. It's about joining a team. It's about joining people that care about our country and want to make a difference. Here's people that, again, people are willing to give up their life in the defense of our country. And I'm just, you know, my chest is sort of pumped out here a little bit and just motivated to have you two or the general and the sergeant major on the show today. Hey, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up here. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience, sir? Anything you want to share maybe we missed or you want to tell the audience about?
Sure. I think the one thing, and it was touched on throughout, and I think we touched on it when we talked about Veterans Day and the reflection and the appreciation. We touched on it with the Yellow Book, and we definitely touched on it here with the Pegasus Troop. And that is this idea that our profession is founded on trust.
Yeah.
That trust is the foundation of our profession. And so everything that we do here in the division revolves around building trust, trust laterally with our peers, with our bosses, and most importantly, trust down. That our troopers trust their lead. And, you know, we talk in the Army. And as you remember, the old unit status report, the old USR, and that's how measures readiness. And that, you know, we call it PSR&T, personnel. The R is your readiness of your equipment. S is the supply that you have all the equipment. And then T, your training level. And sometimes we forget that readiness is more than just, do you have your people? Do you have your equipment? Is that equipment ready? And are you trained? In the 1st Cavalry Division, we say readiness equals PSR&T plus trust. Because if you don't have the trust, those other elements really aren't relevant. And so We are focused every day on building trust. And the way we do that, the Sergeant Major and I, when we talk to the NCOs and the officers about how do we build trust in the 1st Cavalry Division, we talk about three things. First and foremost, know your soldiers. Like, really know them. You know, beyond this. Like, know their family. Know their background. You know, one of the things we do in the division is everybody has to write their story. And it's grew up, and it starts with me. You know, I write my story, like my Army story, but my life and outside the Army at home on a daily basis. And I issue that down to all my subordinate commanders. And then they owe me their story, and I read their story. And it goes all the way down to the lowest level. And we really have gotten to know each other a lot better because, you know, everybody's got a life outside of this green suit. And the more you know about those who work for you and those who you work for, I think that just helps build that relationship and builds that level of trust. And so know your soldiers is our number one way we build trust. The second one is that leaders take action. That, you know, we talk to the leaders in the division about, you know, the soldiers are always watching you. And if you aren't enforcing standards or you're looking the other way when things aren't right, the soldiers are taking note of that. Yeah. And they're not going to say anything, but in their head, they're thinking, my leader doesn't enforce standards. I don't trust them. And then the last one is leaders holding leaders accountable. Again, soldiers are watching. If the lieutenant's doing something wrong and the NCOs are just looking the other way, they're taking note of it. One sergeant's doing the wrong thing and they all know another sergeant knows it and isn't doing anything about it, they're taking note and you're just eroding that trust. But you flip that on its head and you know your soldiers and they actually know that you care about them and they see you taking action and enforcing standards and holding other leaders accountable, then your soldiers are going to trust you, that you're going to do the right thing and that you actually care about them. And that's been our mantra. Those three: know your soldiers, leaders take actions, and leaders hold leaders accountable. And I think over the last 18 months, we have seen a difference in the trust level inside the division, and then that spreads to everything else that we do.
Yeah, the one thing you said a lot of good things right there. But if you don't enforce the standard, you've made a new standard, right? And that's really what you got to worry about. So, Sergeant Major, how about yourself? Any final thoughts or?
Yeah, I think I want to thank you and the team for this great opportunity for the CG and I to be on your show and really highlight the 1st Cavalry Division and its troopers and what we're all about here in the 1st Cavalry Division. You know, branding, we're always about recruiting. So, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, hey, if you want to join the first team, just let us know. It's a brand. But, you know, it's Veterans Day. And it's just an honor to reflect and think about the men and women that have served and currently serving our nation. And I know we appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I can't thank you enough for what you do. And again, I think I told you yesterday, if there's ever anything I can do to help you in any way, please let me know. God bless both of you. And keep up, first team, keep up the good fight.
All right, live the legend.
There you go. Hey, thanks to Major General Richardson, Sergeant Major Mundy for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for watching today. Please visit our website on yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I could take that too. But if you should have a good one from today, anyway, that's for sure. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition if you have to, you know, get out of the military. Also, please visit our corporate partners there and see all the jobs that are available. Please know, I'm going to say this twice, please know we want to assist you any way we can. We're all, you know, we talked about it just a minute ago, we're all part of a family. Whether or not you served 20 years ago or 40 years ago or you're serving now, we're all part of a family. The only question there is, I'm not going to give you none of my allowance, you know, I'm not going to give you none of my money, but we're here for you. Please follow us. I never thought I'd ever do that. Please follow me on all my social media channels, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you've enjoyed this discussion, and I know you have, with Major General Richardson and Sergeant Major Mundy, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at SMATilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Major General Richardson and Sergeant Major Mundy, first team, for being with us today. It was great, you know, having you on the show. And happy Veterans Day to you and to all of the veterans that are out there. You know, when I think about Veterans Day for me, I think about the people that I've known that certainly haven't been as fortunate maybe as I have, but I think about all the sacrifices our veterans make each and every day for this great country. And I think, again, I think there's a family. We all love serving. Even though we take the uniform off, you're still serving in maybe in a different capacity. But you, just like me, love the military, and you want to do all you can. But the one thing I want to thank you was on Veterans Day, don't think you're alone. If you got a problem, you got an issue, reach out to somebody, talk to them, do whatever you can. Thanks again to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, of course, our 4 presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.